This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Well, greetings once again to everybody out there at TFMR. Hey, it's Monday, September 21st, first day of fall here in the U.S. And as we watch precious metals prices fall, I thought it'd be fun to have another one of these special podcasts. You recall just last week, we spoke with the CEO of Winston Gold, and I thought, man, that sounds like a pretty cool opportunity. And I was sharing with my friend Dan Amadouri how I thought that that went really well. And he said, well, I think I got something else for you, something you should take a look at, and introduced to your site. And I said, oh, really? And he said, yeah, there's a company called Norsemont Mining, and you should take a look at it. And so I said, okay, let's do. So I have for you today a gentleman by the name of Mark Levy. He is the chairman and CEO of Norsemont Mining. And if you're a Canadian TFMR member, that name may strike a bell. You may remember that name from about 15 years ago. So I wanted to bring Mark on, have him explain to you what's going on there, and we'll kind of kick the tires and see how this deal looks. So Mark, thank you so much for spending some time.
Greg, thanks for having us. So yeah, we put together a company here called Norsemont Mining. We've acquired a significant gold asset in northern Chile. The asset itself has over 5.5 million ounces of gold. Third largest producer in the early 90s in Chile, in northern Chile, for gold. A lot of upside, existing infrastructure in place because it was a previous producer. There's been 1,700 drill holes, about 130,000 meters of drilling, which is probably worth about $50 million to do that work, as well as the infrastructure itself, power, water, mill, labs, camp, and our ADR effluent plant and roads to the project, over $200 million worth of infrastructure. So we've got a really unique opportunity here to grow the resource and take the company towards a production situation or exit it. Our team has quite a bit of experience from the past. We call this Norsemont 2.0.
Yeah.
And I was the founder of a company called Norsemont Mining, which did a copper asset with Rio Tinto back in 2004. And we sold that for $520 million in 2011 to Hudbay Minerals, as well as we've been involved with several other exits like Petechia Minerals for $350 million to Inmet, and Coal Hunter to Cardero Group, $57 million, and Rio Silver. So we exited close to about $1 billion of mining companies back in 2011, which I think was the end of the cycle. And we've seen, you know, the opportunity that the mining sector is coming back, and we started to reassemble our team about a year ago and look at projects. And Chokolimpe was one of the assets that came across our desk, and we thought this is an amazing asset with amazing upside, existing infrastructure, existing investments, and a great jurisdiction. Chile is a great place to operate. Their GDP is dependent on mining, and a lot of gold. We have actually 4.1 million ounces of gold and 62.5 million ounces of silver. So we've got a huge existing resource. And the project's only been explored to about 20%, 25%. Mm-hmm. So we're targeting, you know, to be able to increase this multiple fold and hopefully get this up to a target situation of about 20 million ounces, which would be fairly significant here, and work towards a production situation.
Well, let's discuss how we're going to get there. Again, for people that recognize the name, there was a Norsemont Mining that you sold in 2011, but you kept the name. So you had the ability to go back and now create this new company and also call it Norsemont Mining, right?
Correct. And we thought, you know, good pedigree, good name, sure, great exit for everybody, made money on the investment. So,
and now you've some of that same team. It's like you're putting the band back together, right? You're putting some of those, that same team is back now. You moved away from mining for a while, and now here you are back, like I said, kind of putting the band back together for this latest version of Norsemont.
Correct. Yeah, we brought back some of the key people that were involved in Norsemont and creating the exit for Norsemont from a technical standpoint. And definitely, I think, you know, what I call it is Norsemont 2.0. We got a bigger asset, stronger team now. And there's been a few key additions of high profile individuals. David Lang, who actually put Choke Olympia into production back in the late 80s, early 90s. And he was CEO of several mining companies that have been sold for, you know, he's done $25 billion of M&A work, was with Endeavor Financial, Endeavor Mining. So he was the guy that put it in production, and he's in our chief engineer. And then another guy named Bill Katsouris, who's joined the team, who comes from, he was a CFO and director and EVP of Endeavor Financial, Endeavor Mining. He's chair of Wheaton River Precious Metals International, which is obviously a very, very large company, one of the largest mining companies. So we've got some really strong talent that's augmented this Norsemont 2.0 team as well to advance the project.
And again, you've done it before. And so you guys clearly know what you're doing. I want to, before we go further though, I want to go back to where we were before, because you've been at this for quite a while. And so you've been through bull markets and bear markets and cycles in the mining industry. You mentioned, you know, the original Norsemont was back in 2004. That was just when gold and silver were just beginning to run for 8 or 9 years into 2011 and 2012. Here we are again. It sure looks like a new bull market began maybe back in 16. And even though we're down today, like I said, I mean, all the conditions are there for this to persist for a while to come. How do you see it? I mean, are we, is it kind of shades of where we were in 2008 or nine, or how do you see this, at least for gold and for cycles in general?
Sure. I mean, I think we're in a gold bull market. I think we have a good couple of years here. A lot of the banks are putting out reports, like Bank of America talking about gold 3,000 plus, and a lot of other analysts are talking about $3,000 to $5,000 gold. I think COVID-19 has exacerbated our debt situation in North America and worldwide, and there's been a huge flight to hard assets like silver and gold. So I think this cycle may be a little bit stronger than the past because of the uncertainty and the worldwide economic situation. I think Europe and Canada and the US and everywhere has taken on incredible amount of debt over the course of the last 6 to 8 months. And there's a price to pay, and people are now, you know, running into gold market. You're seeing huge, huge influx into various gold ETF funds. I think there's been some, you know, this year there's been over $25 billion that's gone into GLD. Like, the huge, huge amount of money is coming in here because they're coming in for safety here. So I think there's a lot of upside in gold, and especially in silver as well. I think there's going to be a little catch up on the silver side. I might be a little bit of a silver bug, but yeah, definitely. I think we have some good, great situation here. Mm-hmm. For I think the next few years for a good gold bull market here.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. That's about how I look at it as well. All right. So Mark, let's, with all of that in mind, you know, putting the team together, and calling it Norsemont Mining again, and we'll put that link on this page so everybody can go to the webpage and look into it for yourself. But Mark, sure. There's an asset behind this that's, you know, yep, important for people to understand. Again, it's called Choke Olympia, and it's down in Chile. There are some key points that I thought that really piqued my interest, and I'll ask you to kind of elaborate on. One, this has been developed before, and so it's not like you got to go from Go to Boardwalk. You've already got all this infrastructure there, and you kind of mentioned it earlier. You've already had drilling done, but it only went down like 75 meters, and it was done by an oil company. And so it's not 43-101 compliant yet at this point, which you're going to do. And that should kind of bring more attention to the company as well. And you're going to drill even deeper as well. I mean, it sounds like you've got a lot of things in your corner, a lot of things lined up at present. I'll let you kind of take it from there.
Yeah. I mean, we've got, thank you. That's correct. We have a lot of things going for us. The fact that we do have an existing resource, it isn't 43-101 compliant. We believe that once we drill it and we report on the data and bring it up to compliance, that should add significant value and provide upside value for our stakeholders. And yes, a very key thing is they only, when it was in production, it was Shell and their partners that did produce, and they made a lot of money producing this. They only took what was at the surface physically. And so they only drilled down, like you said, 70, 80 meters. Typically these epithermal gold, silver systems, from our data, we should be able to drill this down to 250 meters. Even there's some high grade pipes, we'll drill down to 300 meters. So just based on the depth, there is the potential here in targeting of increasing the resource, you know, potential by three or four fold, as well as strike. We've only explored about 20-25% of the project. And so we still have the other 75% of our land to explore. And there is an 8-kilometer strike of about a dozen targets we have on strike, which is the length of the project. So there's a huge upside in the project, which will be great. And correct, we do have existing mining permit in place. We do have infrastructure in place, year-round road access and electricity and everything else. So we can truly fast track this project into a production situation. And matter of fact, one of the things that we don't talk too much about, that I just thought about, on the ground of our project, we have 6.7 million tons in dumps of 1.17 grams per ton. So that's about 250,000 ounces of gold, which, you know, in this market at $2,000 an ounce, that's $500 million worth of gold in itself. Of course, there's a cost to produce, and typically the cost to produce is somewhere around $850 to $1,000, depending on cash costs. So we actually have an asset on the ground that we don't ever bring up, and I just was looking at some notes and forgot about it to mention it in the last time I spoke. But so we've got an existing...
Like sitting in the old waste pile?
Correct, yeah. Huh. So we're looking at strategies to create some value. Maybe we'll toll mill that to some other mill right now to generate some cash flow. So we've been approached by a big group that offered us cash for it. We turned it down because we think it's worth way more than what they offered us. And so there is a potential for us to kind of generate a bit of cash flow on those dumps. That's kind of an added bonus. So there's quite a few, you know, we've got an existing dumps, like I just said, that have 250,000 ounces. We've got 5.5 million existing ounces, which depending on what analysts you go by, you know, the guys at Desjardins use $96 an ounce in the ground. Haywood uses 56 US. So everybody has different numbers, different banks have different numbers. But based on what we have today, once it's 43-101, the potential valuation for our company, you know, is possibly in the vicinity of 500 million without us finding any more gold in the ground, right? Mm-hmm. That assumes no more gold is there, which mm-hmm. we're not here for that. We're here to, you know, double and triple and quadruple that resource over the next 24 months through drilling. And we are planning to do quite a bit of drilling on the project. We've got an existing budget. We plan to go back to the market and raise some further capital and basically drill it and bring it back to a pre-feasibility and a PEA study. So a lot of work to do, but a huge opportunity for the upside. And we haven't really told our story. I think the retail doesn't know the story well, and we're trying to get the word out by people like yourselves, as well as institutionally. I just started to pitch institutions over the last week here, and we're getting some good traction. So,
and if I might interrupt you, that'd be a good place for me just to interject and say, you know, tell us a little bit about the financials, because as I understand it, the market cap is maybe what, 70 million US, no debt at present?
No debt. And we're sitting on, I think we were sitting on approximately about 8 million in cash. And we're closing some more funds. We're hoping to close in our 2 million and take it rounded up to 10 million. So we'll be in a very strong cash position. And then we're also going to be starting out a $6 million drill campaign to do six deep holes into a area where we believe there's a copper porphyry, but we'll be doing 80 holes to drill into the gold silver asset, increase the resource, increase the grade, and get some other geological data. So we'll be pretty busy over the next 24 months with drilling programs here.
And you and your team are heavily invested in the company as well.
Correct. Even the most recent financing we just did, our highest price financing, the team came in here. Even Bill Koutsouras, who is new on the board, took a significant stake in there as well. So a lot of the guys, we all have stakes in this, and the money that's come into our treasury has come more from long-term institutional or value-added investors or technical investors. Or there's a group of gold companies that prefer not to say the name that have a lot of their management is invested in this because they like the project. And so we've got a lot of good strategics that have come in here. We haven't gone to a full retail institutional financing as of yet. So it's very tightly held, and you know, we are planning to go to the market hopefully later in the year and raise another $20 million. But we want to do that at a much higher price point from a dilutive perspective. Mm-hmm. Once we get the machine going here and get the word out and get institutions involved, and that way we'll have enough money with the next $20 million. We don't need to raise any more money. We have enough to drill, you know, 50,000, 60,000 meters and take it to pre-fees or fees. And then we could potentially look at taking on debt or streaming to get enough money to take it into a production situation. Or hopefully, you know, a bigger mining company, I think, will step in here and want to acquire us. And so, you know, from a personal perspective, you know, we're happy either way. We just want to create value for the shareholders.
Yeah. And one more thing I want to make sure I get double back to. You had told me earlier that, you know, again, this what's cool is this Choke Olympi is it's an existing resource. It's been known of for years. And it's got all this infrastructure, the power lines, the water permits, the camp, the mill, all that stuff. But one of the guys now on your team, David Lang, is one of the original people that worked at Choke Olympi, right?
Correct. And that's a very valuable addition to our team.
Yeah.
So he put this in production in the past, so he knows what to do. Exactly. He knows the ins and outs, and he's an investor in the company as well. So okay. He put his money where his mouth is, and he's put his reputation on the line, and he's a very high-profile guy that's been involved with mergers and acquisitions. He's done $25 billion of transactions. He worked for Standard Bank. He was COO of he's been COO of several large mining companies that have been acquired. So it shows you, you know, he's got a incredible track record. He was CEO of Equinox Gold, True Gold, Quintana Resources. These are all huge successes. He's a director of Fortuna Silver Mines. He's been with Bema. So like this guy's, all the companies he's been with are $500 million plus companies. So obviously he's a huge asset. Uh-huh. For uh-huh. our team.
All right, well then let's conclude with this, Mark, because I just think it's personally quite interesting, because again, we're not talking about some drill holes out in the middle of the Golden Triangle that somebody just found. I mean, this is an this is an existing deal. Everything you need to develop it and even turn it on if you want. But share with everybody what your experience has been, because obviously it's just as good to merge a company into somebody else and make a lot of money for your shareholders that way. But they're gonna, you know, but whether you turn it into production, whether that's good, whether that's bad, I mean, because I think this is a unique perspective. So can you share that with everybody?
Sure. I mean, look, a lot of small mining companies and mid-sized mining companies, they dream about selling their asset, and it's not as easy as people think. Our team's got a track record. Myself, you know, I've sold about $1 billion of mining companies. And obviously, Bill Koutsouras has done about $25 billion of M&A with David Lang as well. And Bill's actually done $4 billion in financings for small and mid-cap mining companies. So from our team's perspective, we got a really strong team to create an equity exit. But the other side of the flip side of the coin is we do have the right engineers to put this into a production situation. And generate cash flow. And with gold sitting at $2,000 an ounce, and smarter people than me are estimating that gold is going to $3,000 or $5,000 an ounce. You know, you got the Sprotts and Bank of America's and everybody else from an analyst perspective. So being in a production situation could bode very well for our shareholders and produce some serious cash flow for the company. And we do have the ability, as I said earlier, to really truly fast track this project. Now, that being said, I do feel personally that there's going to be, I think next year we're going to see a lot of M&A activity from some of the mid-cap and larger cap guys that need projects to bring online and get better valuation, better liquidity.
Right.
So I think there's an opportunity here for us to create an exit for our shareholders. And if that's not the case, then of course we've got the production situation to generate cash flow and become a dividend stock ourselves.
Mark, I think that, I mean, the whole thing sounds fascinating. Again, and unique. That's what really caught my eye when I first heard about this late last week. I thought, this is a unique deal. You know, we always talk about jurisdiction and team. You've got those two covered, and the experience you've had with this team of doing this before. And so I just want to kind of summarize. I don't think I'm missing much. Anything else we haven't covered?
You know, we've had a successful. Our team internally here from a finance standpoint, we got quite involved, and we didn't talk a little bit about the cannabis sector, even though that's off topic, but I'm one of the three founders of Aurora Cannabis, and we took Curaleaf, which was the largest. It was a $5.5 billion IPO, $520 million. That was our shell. Cannabis One. We've been behind quite a few cannabis deals in the past. Unfortunately, we're still long a lot of the paper and believing in it, and I think there's going to be a second upswing. But really, our focus on our team right now over the next several years is we've rebuilt our whole mining, and that's all we're focused on is gold, silver, and we're also looking at copper. We kind of like the copper space as well. It's what we know really well, and we think that there's going to be huge upside in the mining sector long term here and short term here, especially with, I think, this big gold bull market that we're in right now. And unfortunately, the debt we've taken on, your kids and my kids and their kids might be paying for it.
Right.
COVID's kind of caused that problem to kind of escalate almost tenfold, I think, from where we were before. So, yeah, I think we're in a great environment. We've got, you know, a good opportunity here in a great jurisdiction, huge upside. Story's not out there. We've got an existing gold resource of people like gold. We've got it already proven in the ground, and there's a lot more of it. And if they like silver, we have quite a big resource on silver, and definitely we'll be proving up some more of that as well. I think this is a good entry point for the company, for investors. We're well capitalized. We are going to be getting our 43-101 report done. We're about to go out to drill. So I think, you know, this is a perfect storm and great timing for anybody that wants to get involved in the company. And we think that this project will create the largest exit. You know, my game plan here is to exit a billion or multi-billion dollar mining company. That's my personal game plan. Haven't done that yet, but I think this asset with the existing environment we're in, will provide the opportunity and the ability to do that.
Yep. All right, Mark, the symbol up in Canada is what?
In Canada, it's NOM. And in the US on the OTCQB, it's NRRSF, Norsemont Mining.
Terrific. I tell you what, Mark, it has been a real treat to get to visit with you. I think that's, I've said it now several times as we've been speaking, I think it's a fascinating story. I mean, it's a rare combination of things that you have working in your favor down there. And I'm going to be really curious to watch it going forward. And I've got to liquidate a few things on my end so I can take a position too.
To have you be a stakeholder. And I'd love to do, Craig, I appreciate you providing us an audience. And I definitely would love to follow up with you whenever you have the opportunity. If you follow some of the news flow and some of the information that comes out here, I'd love to be able to give yourself and your followers an update at any time. I make myself very available to investors and to anybody that can help provide us with additional exposure.
You got it. We're gonna keep in touch, that's for sure. And I think it's going to be fascinating to watch the development as you go along with the new drill results and refiling the old ones and everything else. I think it's a great story. Mark, I'm glad that we've gotten acquainted. I'm certain we'll keep in touch soon. But for now, again, thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you, Greg. I appreciate it.
And from all of us here at TFMR, thank you for listening. Be sure to check out Norsemont Mining.